Open your King James Bible, please, to 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 11 today for study number 116. This 15-minute audio Bible study commentary is titled 1 Timothy Study 116-Committed. Our text verse is found in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 11. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for the privilege of prayer. We thank you, Lord, that we're able to call upon your name. We thank you, Lord, that the middle wall of partition has been moved, that we can come boldly to the throne of grace and find help. And Lord, we certainly need help today as we declare the word of God. Help it to find the place that it needs to find in the hearts of men and women across the land. We'll give you the praise and the glory. I pray, Lord, it'll whet their appetite to study and bring them to Christ in a greater knowledge of the Lord and through the Scriptures and, Lord, in redemption of their soul. And we'll give you the praise for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, this will be study number 116 out of the first chapter of the book of 1 Timothy chapter 1. And it'll be the 17th study that we've had on verse 11 of this chapter. We'll study this, title this study today, Committed, which is found in the second statement of this verse 11. There are some things that God has given Paul here and put them in his trust or in his keeping. These things have been put into the hands of the believer and the church as well. We'll give an account of how we use these things and honor them. We will look at some of these things that have been put into the trust of the people of God that deserve our complete attention of the keeping of them in this study. In this study, we see Paul is telling us that the glorious gospel has been committed unto him to preach and inform the people of God in the church. This glorious gospel has come to him from the blessed God. He's been entrusted to preach. He's been entrusted to proclaim the truth to the saints of God. Many of God's people take for granted the things of God. The things of God are serious. The things of God are holy. The things of God are divine. They're things that deserve our full attention and our complete concern for and our complete consecration. We'll look at a few of these in this study and try to help whet your appetite to keep you digging into these things and increase your knowledge of the Scriptures. The word commit means to apply, to obligate, or to make something binding. We'll primarily deal with things that God has committed to us, some things that God has committed to the Jews and even to the church in this lesson. There's also another word in this statement we'll include in this study on a little portion of it at least. It's the word trust. This word means to put in charge of, to entrust, to put in custody of, or to give the care of. The first commitment we will mention is found in Romans chapter 3 in verse number 2. Paul said, much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. Now, the word oracles means the words of God. Here we find that the Jews have been committed with the words of God to give unto the world. It's the Jewish nation that gave us the word of God. We're eternally grateful to the Jewish nation for giving us the complete word of God. God gave it to them over a period of 1,600 years and used some 40 writers to pin it down to us under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. We're indebted to the Jew. And now they've been committed to you and me. Then God committed it to them and now to us. God has committed unto us the word of reconciliation, as we see in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 19. The Bible said, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now, the word reconciliation means to reunite or bring back together those who've been separated from each other. Now, I want to remind you that sin separated all of us from God, from our foreparents in the garden. And the gospel now has brought us back to Him, and God uses the gospel to reconcile us. We have also been given the word of reconciliation, and that's the act of reconciling, to help bring others to God as well through the gospel. God had committed the gospel to Paul, and He has informed us of our duty as well. For He said in that last part of that verse, hath committed unto us. So He's committed unto us that word of reconciliation. This is speaking of the saints of God. He's given us the word of reconciliation. Praise God, child of God. We have the help and we have the hope of the world through the preaching of the word of God. There's no reason for any man or woman to go to hell. We have the word of reconciliation. Now, Paul had been committed the care of the church or churches, as we've seen through the scriptures, as we've been seen in this first 11 verses of 1 Timothy. Paul was in charge of making sure that Timothy would remain in Ephesus while these believers and him stayed there, and Paul went to Macedonia. Paul knew, as all men of God who are truly called know, that the church needs the unadulterated word of God preached to them in power and in authority. This is the only thing that will advance the church and hold the people of God together in harmony. What Paul was committed with here, he later commits to Timothy in the latter part of this epistle in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 20. Now here's what Paul said to him. O Timothy, keep that which is committed, there's that word, to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so-called. That which was committed to Timothy was to be in the forefront of the heart of the young man. That which was to be preached, he was warned to avoid profane and vain babblings and oppositions of those who were worldly minded. Paul had set himself to the preaching of the word of God, and he did not let anything or anyone turn his heart from giving the word of God to those around him. And he's trying to convince Timothy of the same thing. Now the word trust means to put confidence in, to put into safekeeping, or to give custody to. The word trust is recorded 134 times in the Bible, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. God has given us the greatest gift that He could ever give us and has put that gift into our hands to protect, to preach, and to present this gift to a lost and dying world. What a responsibility that has been placed upon the church and we as believers. We will have to give an account of how we have or have not faithfully tried to get the gospel out into the hands of those who are lost. The church and the members of the church do not grasp the duty and responsibility as it should today that has been entrusted to them. God has chosen the foolishness of preaching to save men and women from their sins, to fail to support missionaries, to fail to support evangelists, and fail to support pastors. It's to squander. I mean, it's to squander what God has bestowed upon us as believers. The judgment seat of Christ will be rough on us when we stand before God and have the blood of many dripping off our hands, so to speak, because we failed to carry out the great commission that was committed to us. Speaking of the great commission, this is the commitment that we have been given to do. Jesus committed and commanded us in Matthew chapter number 28, verses 19 through 20. He said, go ye, now I'm talking about these are the words of Christ. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now, it's a sin not to do what the Lord has told us to do. We'll be accountable at the judgment for shirking our duty and being involved in the things of the world instead of the things of God. New cars, new homes, new clothes, ball games, and entertainment will not be important to us when we stand before God. Lost souls that have been won by the church and by believers will be the most important thing in glory. It should be that way today likewise. Now we find another interesting reference in 2 Timothy chapter 1 in verse number 12. The Bible said, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Now here's a word Paul's using that he's committed. God had committed the glorious gospel to Paul, and now Paul has committed his soul to the Lord. This is a mutual commitment of every believer. If we have not committed our soul and all that we have unto the Lord, it's certain we'll not be busy about the business of the gospel. Paul did not preach and present the gospel because he had an obligation or a responsibility to do so. He had a desire down deep in his soul because of his commitment of his salvation to the Lord. It's sad to say, but it's very true today. Our churches and the members are doing a lot of good things, but they're not doing them because they have a real desire or commitment to do so. They're serving God out of obligation and not by a heartfelt commitment. A real commitment to God will keep us busy doing and doing all the time, anything and everything we can find to do to keep men and women out of the pits of hell. It's a sure thing that those who are not totally committed to the Lord or our nation would be, in a better condition if we were committed to the Lord. It'd be in a better holy state than it is today. Paul continues on to challenge and charge believers and Timothy too as well to hold fast to the form of sound words which he had heard from Paul. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, he said, "Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus, that good thing which was committed unto thee." He said to Timothy, he said, "Keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in you," or in us. He challenged us today to keep that which has been committed to us and don't let it slip. We're to guard our doctrines of the Word of God with our lives. The devil, the flesh, and the world are standing close by each passing day to steal and take what we've heard from away from us. The devil would be glad and excited to get us to be in a complacent state and in a state of unconcern about the business of winning lost souls to Christ. We're living in a time of slackness and in a time of serious hindrances to the furtherance of the gospel. We have another reference that Paul gives us in the book of Titus. Titus chapter 1 verse 3 says, "But hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior." All through the days of Paul on the earth after his conversion, Paul held to the gospel and preached it with all his heart. That was all he wanted to do. After over 50 years of preaching the gospel myself, I too have a desire to keep preaching. Many preachers are looking to retire and quit, but as the days go by, I want to preach more and more. I desire to preach every passing day. I believe the more Paul preached, the more he wanted to preach. Most preachers in our modern day look for how little they can preach and not how much more they could preach. The prophet Joel gives us a challenge in Joel chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. He said, "Put in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, get you down, for the press is full, the fats overflow. For their wickedness is great, multitudes, multitudes, in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision." There are multitudes in the valley of decision today, friend, that need to hear the gospel message of the Redeemer and his redemption. If we do not give them the word of God, they'll die without God and go to hell. Now, Jesus gives us another strong convincing reference found in the book of Matthew, chapter number 9, in verse 36 and 38, or through 38. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into the harvest. My prayer is that we don't faint and we don't get scattered while we have a job to do. God, help us to stay in the harness, and God, help us to stay ready to declare the truth of the Word of God. I trust that this study number 116 has helped to inform you and helped you in your spiritual life. For additional information, contact us at kjb1611@windstream.net. May God bless you. Amen and amen.